I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
It begins tonight, the NHL Stanley Cup Final. Oilers and Panthers. Connor McDavid looking for his first championship.
You feel closer. There's a big circus. It can feel like it's larger than it is. At the end of the day, it's another series, and we're playing another great team, and you got to beat them before anything else happens. So they have our complete focus. All of our energy is in going into beating the Florida Panthers. There should be nothing else on anyone's mind.
We will learn more. Dennis Bernstein, the fourth period. Dennis joins us live from Edmonton coming up next year in the Sports Bar. The Red Wings gave up 7 runs in the bottom of the first. They could not recover. They lose in Central Mass today, 9-1 to Worcester. Yankees tonight hosting the Guardians. The Mets again in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. The Rockies today ended up sweeping the Marlins. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, the Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You know you're not going to stop them, right? It's just trying to limit how many opportunities he gets. Obviously, when you get to watch a player like that up close and see the little things that he does that make him so special, it was incredible. You know, obviously, you know he's gifted and talented, but to see his work ethic and how hard he competes and his determination, you know, he's the best player in the world for a reason. And every team in this league has tried to contain that guy. You're not going to do it, right? It's just you try to work as hard as you can to try to limit how many opportunities he gets, so hopefully you can keep it to 10 or 15 instead of 20 or 30.
Panthers forward Brad Marchand on the greatest player in the NHL. That's Connor McDavid. As game one of the Stanley Cup Final gets underway tonight in Edmonton, we go to Dennis Bernstein covering the NHL better than anyone at the fourth period and joining us now in the Sports Bar. So it's a rematch, Dennis, and it's a little bit different this year with Edmonton having home ice. I want to get your take on how much of a difference that may make, and also knowing that Zach Hyman, one of their better players, won't be available to them this series. Welcome back into the Sports Bar, bud.
Always great being on air in Western New York. I think the Zach Hyman absence is more impactful than the home ice advantage, because if you look at the Panthers, I think they're 9-3 on the road. They played better on the road than at home. They've lost 3. They lost the clincher against, against Tampa. They lost a clincher against Carolina. So the Zach Hyman injury is impactful, but the way their depth has performed, the Oilers, in these playoffs, it's less impactful than, let's say, last season. They were more top-heavy team. I think they're all 3, 3.5 line. So I think Zach missing. And the strange thing about Zach, and also I'll cut to Brad Marchand too here, is Zach was a 52-goal scorer last year, or 2 years ago. And what did he do this season in the playoffs before he got hurt? He led the playoffs and hits.
Yeah.
So he adapted his game to winning games. Like, that's all he cares about. Same thing with Marchand. You know, Marchand's a Hall of Famer, right? He gets traded to Florida. He could have easily told Paul Maurice, no, I want to play with Barkov and Reinhardt. But what did he do? Oh, you want me on the third line? Melissa Ronan and Lundell? I'll take it. And they've been a better, deeper team. So I think the one biggest difference is both teams are better than they were last season in a 7-game matchup.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, Dennis. You've been saying this all along, like that, because I look back last year, and maybe it's the fact that it just got to 7, but we all kind of nodded our head, like, yeah, that was entertaining, and yeah, like, sign me up again. Yeah. But just the fact that this actually might be better this year than last year.
Yeah, better, deeper teams. Stuart Skinner arose from the dead. Well, man, I covered the LA series, right? I'm in LA. After 2 games, he was done. He was done. Dalvin Pickard was 6-0 in the playoff and got hurt and still came back in net, found his way. The team's played really great defense in front of him. And I get it. You want to look at Stuart Skinner's statistics after game 2 of the first round and say, hey, he's been way better. The team is way better. They're way better defensively. And when I looked at the top 6 guys they had on defense, the start of the LA series, I'm like, there's no way that these 6 guys are championship material. But here they are. they are championship material, and they're going to get Matias Ekholm back at the end of the Dallas series. So, yeah, I think these teams are deeper and better. It still may come down to Stuart Skinner versus Sergei Bobrovsky in that, though.
Yeah, I was just going to go there with you because we've seen Skinner improve after that first two-game stretch. But when you compare the two teams and you look at matchups that can be exploited, I mean, it still feels like the advantage between the pipes goes to Florida with Bobrovsky being one of the best in the world.
Yeah, two-time veteran. He beat Skinner in a game seven. And he's the type of guy, you know, going back, I'm old. Right? So I remember Cherry Seavers on the old, Butch Grant Fuhrer on the old Edmonton Oilers when they won championships. Their stats were never the best. Right? They didn't have great save percentages of goals against. You know what? They made the big save in a big spot. And that's the thing about Bob. Bob might have a bad game here where he might get shelled and he might score seven goals in one game, but bounce back the next game and give up one or give a shutout. So I think the consistency of Bob and his obviously his pedigree and the fact that he won last season against this goaltender, even though it's not a goaltender versus goaltender matchup, you have to give the edge. And I think the biggest edge, because I think the rest of, when you compare the rest of the rosters, there's slight edges all the way around. But the biggest edge would be in net still because of Bob and the way he handled last year's final.
We're talking to Dennis Bernstein, who is in Edmonton tonight. It is going to be game one. You've got 14 players from Florida that were on the team last year, 16 guys from Edmonton. If you are just looking at this from kind of the betting perspective here, Dennis, is it hard to say? Like, we know if Edmonton wins this series, it's going to be Connor McDavid, the Conn Smythe winner, we think.
Yeah.
Is McDavid actually going to get it back-to-back years as a losing player if Edmonton does not win?
Well, remember, he won as a losing player in a seven-game series, and he had 42 points in last year's playoff run. He's not close to 42 points this year, so no way. Here's the thing. Bob's short odds. But I'll give, and this is going to sound crazy, on a flyer, if I was betting Conn Smythe, I'd bet Sam Bennett, of all people. The guy that knocked out Stolar, the guy that hits guys after the whistle. He got 10 goals. He's the leading goal scorer for the Florida Panthers in the playoffs. Not Barkov, not Reinhardt, not Verhaeghe, Sam Bennett. So if Sam would score, say, four goals in the final, and they would win in six, and they were more offensive games, like they were 5-3 games or 6-5 games, get an edge there, but I think the two front runners are who they should be. Kind of McDavid for the Oilers and Sergei Bobrovsky for the Florida Panthers.
You mentioned Sam Bennett, and what I love about this time of year in the NHL, in the NBA, when you get to postseason in any professional sport, inevitably you're going to have guys on teams that I call killers. They absolutely will go out there and they'll kill you. They'll absolutely. Yeah. And Bennett is one of those guys. And I don't know what his future is, Dennis, but I'm curious, you know, what is Sam Bennett getting this offseason?
And there's some people saying $10 million a year. No, he's a 50-point scorer, right? He's a 25-25 guy. I think, number one, he stays in Florida. He'll find a way. He gets an extra year. 7.5, 8. Look at the deal that Brock Nelson just signed in Colorado. Shorter term, 3 years. Sam will probably go term. Right, but he's in that category. I mean, Brock might be a better offensive player, but what Sam brings to the game with respect to intangibles and the dirty hits, and they are dirty hits, like after the whistle, I think you're looking at $7.5-8 million for Sam, and because that's the going price, because the salary cap's going to go up in two seasons to over 100. You can afford, believe it or not, as crazy as it sounds, because remember, 3-4 years ago, I cap, you could have hit an $8 million player in your cap, but now you can't. So I think Sam will get $7.5-8 million on term. And I think he's more likely to stay in Florida than leave.
Kind of sort of segueing over to the Sabres here a little bit. And we love our gallows humor, where every year we're seeing an ex-Sabre hoist the cup last year. I mean, you had a few in Florida. Maybe you get Evan Rodriguez again. If it's Edmonton this year, the storyline with Jeff Skinner, who all these games here, more than 1,000 games in the league, and he's finally made the cup. Yeah. I'm pulling for the guy, Dennis. I'm hoping that Jeff Skinner, and if it's Skinner, I guess Evander Kane would hoist it too, but I want the streak to continue of former Buffalo Sabres hoisting a Stanley Cup.
I think if Oilers do win, I think the handoff is obviously Connor to Leon. And I think usually the third guy, the guy who's been waiting as long as Jeff Skinner's been waiting, not just to win a cup, but get in the playoffs, I think he might hand it up to Jeff Skinner third, because he's been there. He's been around the league so long and has never had the opportunity to taste the playoffs. It might be him. It might be some other guy, maybe Ekholm or something like that. But it would be it's great to see. And, you know, I had the privilege of being on the ice, and you see guys who have fought their whole life to get to the pinnacle and finally get there. It's been such a long climb for Skinner, and he's had a really, really good, you know, he's had a really great career. It's been on the downside lately, but I think that would be a very poignant moment for Jeff Skinner if he's able to raise the cup, especially if it was here in Edmonton where the fans would be going crazy.
All right, so if I'm just now in my mind, I'm painting a picture of what that looks like at the end of this series, and I'm only going to bring this up because it was brought up by Paul Maurice at the end of the Carolina series. How do you see this going between the Oilers and the Panthers, when it's all said and done, Maurice, Knobloch, and Maurice basically saying, hey, look, the players do all the fighting. The players are out there. They don't need to meet every person on our staff after a long series, only to hear Brindamore afterwards kind of say, no, that was crap. The coaches should be a part of that handshake line as well.
I love Paul Maurice. Rod Brindamore is right. Right. You work just as hard. You're part of the team. You're on the ice or behind the bench, whatever. What's the additional time for the handshakes? 5 minutes, 7 minutes? Do you think the Oilers, if they won, would care if they had to shake hands with some of the personnel from the Panthers for another 5 or 7 minutes? It's tradition. It's what makes this great game so great, guys. It's tradition. So I think Paul was out of bounds doing it and saying, oh, this is about the players. And it was a conference final. It wasn't the Stanley Cup final. It's the Stanley Cup final. It's tradition. Now you're going to – Paul Maurice is going to be the guy to unhinge this great tradition that we have now. I think it'll be business as usual when it comes to handshakes at the end of game 4 or 5, 6 or 7 or whatever it is.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Dennis Bernstein is up in Edmonton tonight, Game 1, Oilers and Panthers, and this has been a story. I want to say, Dennis, you could correct me if I'm wrong, this came more from the Canadian media, and all of a sudden it snowballs like, hey, it's the sixth straight year we have a team from Florida. This isn't fair. And our position on our show is, well, you acknowledge that certainly there are some, you know, there are some advantages, but explain why some of these other teams don't get the same thing done here. Like, your thoughts on that, Dennis? And I guess it's also noteworthy seeing that we got to go back to 1993, last time we had a Canadian team win the Cup.
Okay, so with respect to the Florida teams and state taxes, okay, first of all, I've talked to a lot of players who have never told me once, ever, oh yeah, the final decision I was making, state taxes were what tipped it over. That's why I signed in Florida. Never happened. And let's be real about something, okay? And I really despise it. I want to say, hey, when people say, oh, it's some big advantage. Bill Zito traded for Tkachuk, and he traded a 115-point player, Huberto, for him, and Mackenzie Weegar, who was a top-pair defensive. He traded for Tkachuk. He traded for Reinhardt. Traded for Sam Bennett, right? He signed Carter Verhaeghe out of Tampa for $1 million per year for 2 years. He traded for Seth Jones on retained salary. He traded for Brad Marchand. Where's the state taxes in any of those signings, right? He claimed Gustav Forsling on waivers. Like, this is BS. And before that, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let me give you the poignant moment for me with respect to how they built that team. Way back in the day, they traded Kyle Quincy, and most of the listeners wouldn't even know Kyle Quincy if he hit him in the head, right? For the 19th overall pick, I think, in 2012. And they picked Andrei Vasilevsky, okay? They drafted Stamkos. They drafted Hedman. They drafted Kucherov in the second round. They drafted Cirelli in the third round, second round. They drafted Point in the third round. Where does state taxes fit in that, guys? It's a BS narrative that I don't know why it's a problem, because these teams were built so smart. You know what to do? Don't worry about state taxes. Worry about getting a really smart GM. And one of the smartest GMs, guys, I'll close with this point, is Jim Nill, Dallas. Brilliant. Two-time GM back-to-back. The last time, and there's no state tax in Texas. The last time they won the Stanley Cup, 1999.
Oh, so we know. All right. So to that, and you're right, Dennis. I mean, like, look, you could look at the history of the NHL, and well-run teams with talented players find themselves in the postseason year in, year out, find themselves in the finals year in, year out. You mentioned 99. We're familiar. Let's talk for a second about the Buffalo Sabres, because we love having you on to kind of set us straight. When they announced Jorma Kekäläinen is the senior advisor to GM Kevin Adams on Friday, our first thing was like, why are they announcing this on a Friday? Are they trying to bury this story? Because by all accounts and from everybody that we've heard, it seems like this is a really, really good move for the Buffalo Sabres.
First things first, I did say a no-beaner for Sabres fans last night before I went to sleep, like I always do. Now, do you think Kevin Adams is looking over his shoulder, boys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably. This is when's the last time they hired an experienced GM? Muckler? It's gone way, way back. It was a lot of first-time GMs.
Yeah.
But yes, this is, look, Keck's resume in Columbus, mixed bad, but he was a GM. It's a smart move. It's the right move. We had it here in Los Angeles with Mark Bergevin, who was up for a couple of jobs, didn't get him. But it's the right move. You need another experienced guy because Kevin hasn't delivered. He hasn't. So, look, now there's a GM winning. Now, the Gulo family could decide, okay, if they fall on their face again this coming season, would you turn to Keck? He's already in there. He's getting familiar with the team. Like, he knows all the GMs around the league. Yes, a smart move. More teams are going to start doing that, especially if they want to bring in like a new breed of GMs who are younger and happen to have a first-time shot, or it's their first-time shot as a GM. So I think it's a smart move. We'll see how it pays off in the regular season and here in the offseason as well.
Yeah, Dennis, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm hoping that your answer would be this isn't even on our radar, but it is something locally when it comes to the arena, and the county doesn't want it. They're handing over the city doesn't want it. It would give the Sabres an opportunity here. You're not hearing anything like this, on a national level about the Sabres and the arena issue, are you?
No. What, like leaving? No. The Buffalo Sabres, no. And first of all, you had to have three quarters of the owners vote on a move. No. I haven't heard anything like that at all, and I would be surprised if it was, because I know the Pagulas get shots here, but they also run the Bills, and the Bills, last time I checked, a pretty well run organization. So I haven't heard anything like that. But if I do, I'll come back on the show and talk about it.
Dennis, one of the things that the Sabres need, we say this every year when we talk about what is it going to take to break the playoff drought. Well, they need teams in the East to kind of fall off a little bit. One of those teams that fell off a little bit this year and missed the postseason fired their coach and hired a new coach today. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about the Penguins and their hiring of Dan Muse, former Rangers assistant?
A lot of people said, who's Dan Muse? That's what a lot of people said. It's funny, my partner, Dave Pioneer, the period said, look, it was close to Mitch Love, DJ Smith from LA, who's the assistant coach there, and there was a mystery candidate. Dan Muse was a mystery candidate. He doesn't mean it's okay. I'm not sure he fits right now. And like, if you were hiring a coach like the first time coach, aren't you saying that this is basically going to be a rebuild, a younger team? And they still have Sid, and they still have Gino, and they still have Tanger. So, yes, a bit of a surprise. I would think a more experienced coach, but Kyle Dubas. It's what he does. He does stuff outside the box. There's some familiarity there, but it was a surprise to me. I think a surprise to a bunch of people, because there were really qualified candidates out there who had bigger names and had more of a resume. They liked this guy. Maybe he'd be fine lightning a bottle, but these first-time assistants, other than Chris Knobloch, the first-time coach plug-in here, but he had Connor Lean. It's a little bit of a head-scratcher. Maybe it's a signal to Sid Crosby saying, hey, look, we're going to be going in a direction where the team isn't going to be competitive and we have to rebuild. And maybe some of your mates, some of your old boys might be traded away. So maybe down the road, maybe they say to Sid, look, the team's gone, regressed here. It's going to be a little bit wild. Would you consider going somewhere else?
Last one for me, Dennis. Mitch Marner. I mean, we're a few weeks away, but what's the market for him? Where do you think he ends up?
He could wind up in probably 10 different places. I think the LA Kings are going to go after him. I think there's some guys on the team like Drew Doughty or Andre Kopitar who want less bite at the apple here because their time's running out on them. Maybe you want to do that. I think maybe a team like Carolina, although they have a small team and put Marner on the team, another small guy, because they already have Stankov and Jarvis. Not sure that makes too much sense. So I don't think the Islanders are in play. So I think there'll be a bunch of teams lining up here. I think that Vegas is definitely a possibility. And there's some rumors about trading Nick Hague. You can move out a guy like William Carson, who's making close to $6 million. I wouldn't be shocked, because Vegas, they like the nice, bright, shiny tool in the free agents market every summer. So maybe they chase him as well. So that could be a possibility. And it wouldn't allow Dallas already have to make a lot of moves. And maybe they trade Jason Robertson because there's rumors about that. Maybe put him there. So he'll get his $13 to $14 million. He'll sign a long-term deal for 7 years. What I don't think happened, I don't see him returning to Toronto. I just think he's had it with that market. They haven't been able to succeed. And I just think the pressure of working at market, he's got a wife and a young kid. I think his time has come and gone in Toronto. So I think his destination will be somewhere else when we get to July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 5th.
Dennis, we haven't talked to you since that series ended. And it felt for a second there like Toronto up 2-0 on the defending champs could actually advance farther than they've advanced. And they continue to do Toronto things. Wow. Is it as simple as what we were talking about before, the fact that, you know, some of these teams have killers and Toronto doesn't have that killer on their roster? I mean, you know, for as great a goal scorer as a guy like Matthews is, he sure seems to disappear when the moment gets big.
Yeah, well, Austin was banged up a lot, right? So I think where they missed their opportunity was when they made the trade. This is an awesome trade, but they traded for Scott Laughton and they put him on the third line. They thought he would be an effective player in the playoffs. Their bottom six got run over. Like, that's why. And so, yeah, Austin wasn't at his best. And, you know, Mitch still got his points and Neal did okay. But again, it's defending champions. Remember, they went down 2-0 and went in overtime in game three. They would have been done, guys. They would have been done. But what do they have? They have winning. Talent wins. I get it. I understand it. You got to have winning players. And what do the Panthers have? They have winning players because they got to do what's necessary to win games. And that's the difference between Florida and Toronto. When it's winning time, they find ways to win. Toronto finds ways to lose. It's as simple as that. So do you change the whole roster up and down and trade Austin Matthews? No, but you have to find the supplementary players, the complementary players that can win you games in the playoffs. This group of complementary players, the Maple Leafs, didn't do it. And look, it's no mistake. 3 years in order to the Cup final for the Panthers, they have winning players.
So, Dennis, if this goes to 7, that's 20 days from today. Are you on the road 20 straight days? Or are you going to try to sneak up? I was going to throw something at you because I'm thinking, how do you get from Edmonton to Florida? And probably there's ways like Chicago. I'm thinking maybe you fly to Pearson in Rochester. We have direct flights, South Florida. Dennis, if you find yourself with an extra day here, bud, just take the, drive down.
Yeah, here's my chart. I usually go home to L.A. between series. But between 2 and 3, my wife's actually in Seattle. She says, I'm not going to be home. There's somebody to watch the dogs and babysit the house. So I'm going to go straight to – and, through Chicago. Now, here's the one kicker. Between 4 and 5, there's usually 2 days. But because they don't want to conflict with the NBA, there's only 1 day of travel between South Florida and Edmonton. So you've got to go back to Edmonton. And game 5 is on my anniversary. So how great is my wife that lets me go to game 5? So I got to fly home the next day. So I'll be home. I'll be on the road for 2 weeks. I'll be going home after game 5 because there's two days between games 5 and 6. But yeah, 2 bags of luggage this time around, boys. I didn't get to break that. I usually get to go home after 2. So it's going to be an arduous trip, and the weather's a little different in Edmonton than in South Florida. So it's going to be there, but I'm looking forward to it because, like I said at the top, I think this has the possibility of even being better than last year's Cup final.
We say it all the time, marriage is continuous negotiation, Dennis, and you're obviously very good at negotiating to get to stay on the road for these games. All right, let's get your prediction for the series. You say it's going to be better than last year. I have a hard time seeing how that series, because it was a great series last year. Are we seeing more length to these games? Are we getting more overtime games? Is it that tight, that margin of error that thin? And how do you see the series overall playing out? What's your prediction?
I think it's 7 games. I think why it's going to be better, because remember, there wasn't a lot of drama in that. It was 3-0 Panthers. So there really wasn't drama in game 4. You know, there was almost a consolation prize. And the way that the Panthers found a way to win game 5, they all found a way to win game 5. So I don't think it's going to roll like that. I think it's going to be probably a split here. Go back to Florida 1-1. That'd be great. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's it. So I think it'll be a closer series throughout. It was a miracle run. And if some team goes down 3-0 in this series, you're not getting off the deck and winning 3 in a row. Like, it's not going to happen. So I think I'll make the Oilers more prepared. So I like the Oilers in 7 here. But if you pick the Panthers in 7, where I debate it, absolutely not, because there's not much separating this. Hey, we might go to overtime in a game 7 here at Rogers Place. That would be amazing. But I think that the series itself will be closer and more drama, because I don't think there'll be that separation like we had last season.
Dennis, people who want more of the fourth period, tell everybody about the work where they can follow you.
Yeah, fourthperiod.com. My ex account is Dennis TFP. We'll also be doing the pregame show for SiriusXM for every game from 7 o'clock Eastern, so you can tune to Channel 91. And you know what? I'm a pretty conspicuous guy. I'm not hard to find if you want to find me.
You're the best, Dennis. Appreciate you spending some time with us here in the Sports Bar.
Always great being a fan of Rochester, boys. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks,
Dennis. Dennis Bernstein. Check out the fourth period. If you're a hockey fan, you want to get a primer on what's going on around the NHL and certainly the Stanley Cup final between Edmonton and Florida getting it away tonight.
He said something and like, wow, this did hit home. Kevin Adams, no experience. Jason Bottrell, no experience as a GM. Tim Murray, no experience. Darcy Regier was here forever. No experience as a GM. You have to go back to John Muckler in 1993, the last time the Sabres. And that was how many owners ago? Two owners ago.
That's a check in the column of sell the team people, right? Like that's Terry Pegula being cheap. You can hire a GM, but it's going to cost you if you want to hire a GM.
Unless they're doing this, Kevin, we like you, but now you've got somebody over your shoulder.
Right. And as a senior advisor, is his role really just to learn the job that Kevin Adams is doing and the systems that are in place so that he can take over sooner rather than later and Kevin can transition into another role within
he's
the organization?
He's got a running start.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out for the Buffalo Sabres. That hire is not a nothing. That, you know, the stall hire to me was a nothing. Like, okay, you hired your buddy. Good for you.
Oh, your buddy who's cheering on his former team. And like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, but this one, it's like, okay, that guy... I mean, you're going to hire that guy. Why not just fire Kevin Adams? They're not going to do that. They could have just fired Kevin Adams and said, oh, we got a new GM. Here he is. He's a senior advisor. Well, yeah, Kevin Adams is going to be looking over his shoulder an awful lot with the role that he's in right now, knowing that there's a guy there with the kind of experience that Kekalainen has. Love Dennis joining us in the Sports Bar. Talk some NHL, talk some Stanley Cup final. It all gets underway tonight north of the border. We're going to take a break and come back with Happy Hour next in the Sports Bar. A lot of fallout still, you know, just over 24 hours after finding out that Tom Thibodeau was fired by the New York Knicks. Lots of different reactions to sort through. Lots of different theories. We'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll talk more about tonight's game one. This is going to be a fun series. A round of shots coming up. And last call as well. You can join us and have the final word in the Sports
Bar. Oh, if you like hockey too, there's a report, Mitch Marner. He might end up on a team you would never, ever expect. It's not the Sabres, by the way.
No. Yeah. You notice how Dennis didn't even come close to sniffing. It was all like teams that are playoff teams.
Yeah.
Teams that are good, that want to get better.
And that would actually pay.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll get to that and more next. Happy Hour on the way, on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.